Hello, welcome back to another episode of Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. The question for today is, are Christians under both the law of Moses or under the grace provided by Jesus Christ? In my previous episode, which was The Better Covenant, I made the point that the Bible, both Old and New Testaments, they're both the inspired Word of God, literally God breathed. That's 2 Timothy 3:16. From the beginning to the end, it reveals God's redemptive plan and His covenant relationship with humanity. The two testaments represent two distinct covenants: the Old Covenant given to Israel through Moses, and the New Covenant given through Jesus Christ to all who believe. Understanding how these covenants connect and how the new is better than the old is basic to living in freedom and the grace that God offers. So what is the meaning of covenant? Let's review that again. A covenant is a sacred agreement or a divine contract. In theology, it represents the binding relationship between God and people. The Old Covenant, often called the Law of Moses or the Mosaic Covenant, was mediated by Moses and centered on the obedience to God's commands. The New Covenant, however, was established by Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who willingly gave His life as the perfect sacrifice for sin. And because of His death and resurrection, believers enter into a covenant of grace, not law. Listen to what Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now the common thread found in the two covenants is faith. Although the covenants differ in form, they share a common foundation, faith. From Abraham's belief in God's promises found in Genesis 15, 6, verse 6, to the believer's trust in Christ today. Faith has always been the means by which the people are reconciled to God. The writer of Hebrews reminds us, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. That was Hebrews 11, 6. Faith is what binds humanity to the heart of God under the law and under grace. Let me just take a moment here to remind everyone that all the messages are available free on my website, which is PastorVic.com or PastorVicsNuggets.com. And everything is absolutely free. The videos, the audios, the MP3s for podcasting, as well as all of the written notes. So please check it out and help yourself to anything that's on that website. Okay, let's come back now. I want to focus on three things. One, the fact that Jesus did not abolish or destroy the law. Two, that we are called to a relationship with Him, which is based on the New Testament and not the Old. So let's just take a look, first of all, that Jesus did not come to abolish or destroy the law, but to fulfill it. I'm sure you've heard that scripture. It is a very important principle to understand in regards to both the Old and the New Testament. It is a statement that Jesus made this statement. He said in Matthew 5:17, "Do not think I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." So what does it mean that Jesus did not abolish the law, but fulfilled it? You see, Jesus did not cancel or discard God's law. Abolish means to tear down, invalidate, or to do away with. Jesus is saying He did not come to remove Moses' law or the prophets. He did not come to reduce God's commandments or make holiness less important. He did not set aside the Old Testament. His ministry was not a rejection of the law, but the continuation and completion of what God had already revealed. The Greek word plero, which is the word fulfill, means to complete, to bring to its intended goal, to fill up its meaning. Jesus fulfills the law in four major ways. Because He fulfills the law, He basically replaced the law with the new covenant. Number one, Jesus fulfilled the law through perfect obedience. Jesus kept the law without sin, something that no one was ever able to do. He obeyed God's moral law perfectly. He observed the ceremonial laws that were required of Jews under Moses. He fulfilled every requirement that God demanded. Where humanity failed, Christ succeeded. Because of this, his righteousness can be credited to believers. Listen to 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he, meaning Jesus, made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The second way that Jesus fulfilled the law was through prophecies and types. The laws and the prophets pointed to him. Jesus was the Passover lamb, the sacrificial system, the priesthood, the feast, the tabernacle, and messianic prophecies. Jesus is all of these things. Jesus is the substance of all of these things, which were shadows, a foretelling, a hint of something that was to come. Listen to Hebrews 10:1. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with the same sacrifices which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. That was speaking about the law. Then again, in Colossians 2, verses 16 and 17. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. The third way Jesus fulfilled the law was through the moral intent. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus explains the true meaning of God's commandments. What he says is that anger is the root of murder. Lust is the root of adultery. Love of enemy represents the heart of God's character. He did not loosen the moral law. He deepened it into the heart level. And four, Jesus fulfilled the law by establishing the new covenant. Jesus' death and resurrection fulfilled what the law anticipated or expected. The law was expecting someday a once-for-all sacrifice, a better covenant. You can read that in Hebrews chapters 8, 9, and 10. Forgiveness through his blood, the law written on hearts. Jeremiah 31, verse 33. The ceremonial laws, the sacrifices, the dietary laws, the temple rituals find their completion in Christ and are no longer binding because their purpose has been accomplished. But the moral law, God's character, his love, holiness, and righteousness continue in force and are reaffirmed in the New Testament, the New Covenant. So we can say Jesus did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. This meaning, of course, now we understand that the law is now obsolete and has been replaced by grace. Jesus fulfilled the law because he lived in perfect obedience, demonstrating the righteousness no one else could ever achieve. Hebrews 4:15. Through his death, he became the atoning sacrifice for sin once and for all. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteous of God in him. Where the law exposed guilt, Jesus brought grace and truth. John 1:17 says, For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The old sacrifices were continual. Christ's sacrifice was complete. He satisfied the law's demands and opened the way for a new covenant written on human hearts. Hebrews 8:10 says, For this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after these days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their heart. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. There's an interesting scripture in the book of Galatians where the Apostle Paul uses a word tutor to describe the purpose of the law of Moses. Galatians 3, beginning in verse 24, says the following. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, I know when I think of the word tutor, I often think of a teacher. However, that's not how the word is used in this verse. The Apostle Paul uses the Greek word pedagogos, meaning a strict guardian or supervisor responsible for disciplining and watching over a child. The guardian was not the teacher, but he was the one who escorted the child to the teacher. The Mosaic law served as this kind of guardian. It exposed sin, restrained wrongdoing, showed God's perfect standard, revealed humanity's need for a Savior, and pointed forward to Christ. The law could not discipline, could not save or transform. Its purpose was temporary. Its job was to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. Another parable that's important for us to understand is the idea where Jesus talked about the new wine in old wineskin. What did he mean? Well, in Jesus' day, wine was stored in animal skin bags. The new wineskins were soft, flexible, and able to expand. Old wineskins became stiff and brittle. New wine, which was fermenting, would stretch and burst an old wineskin. So Jesus says in Matthew 9, verse 17, nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskin break. The wine is spilled, the wineskins are ruined, but they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. The spiritual meaning is as follows. The new wine represents the new covenant, the gospel of Christ, and the new life in the Holy Spirit. The old wineskin represents the old covenant system and rigid religious traditions. The background for the Gospel of Luke's account of the same thing, came from the Pharisees questioning Jesus why his disciples did not fast. And then Jesus explained that his coming ushered in a new era that could not fit into old religious frameworks. Jesus speaks this parable in Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 36. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear, and the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. No one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskin and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. You see, the gospel requires new hearts. Even in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel chapter 36, beginning in verse 26, Ezekiel, under the inspiration of the Spirit, he says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. You cannot mix the law and grace. Paul later affirmed that the work of the law and grace cannot be combined as a basis for salvation. Romans 11:6 says this, says, and if by grace, then it is no longer of works, meaning works of the law. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, the works of the law is no longer work. And then again, Galatians 5:4. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. And what Paul was talking about was the fact that the many of the early Christians were originally Jews, you know, under Judaism. And when they entered into Christianity, they began to backslide into their former way of thinking and worshiping. And that's why he says you have fallen from grace. You've resorted to doing works rather than accepting the free gift of God. Now, I know people often resist God's new work because the old feels familiar. Matter of fact, Jesus even says that in Luke 5:39. No one having drunk old wine immediately desires for the new, for he says the old is better. To live under grace is to walk in freedom from guilt and fear. The Spirit empowers us to live out the heart of the law, which is love, rather than the letter of it. God promised, I will give you a new heart and put my Spirit within you. We saw that in Ezekiel. Through this transformation, believers grow into Christ, the image of Christ, from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed, changed into the same image to become more like Jesus from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the law. As Paul wrote, love is the fulfillment of the law. Romans 13, beginning in verse 8, Paul writes, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this one saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Jesus brought a new covenant. The old covenant system could not contain his message. The Holy Spirit requires new hearts. Law and grace cannot mix. And people will resist God's new work because the old feels better. In short, Jesus' message and Spirit-filled life cannot be confined to old religious systems or unchanged hearts. The words of Jesus to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 still ring true. You must be born again, and by faith know that you are forgiven, cleansed, and made new. All of this because God offers this gift of grace to anyone who will believe. If you've not made this decision to put your trust in Jesus, don't wait or hesitate. Do it now. Say this simple prayer from your heart, and God will come in to live in you. And the prayer is as simple as, Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. You are alive. Please come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. Amen. God bless you, and may this message reveal the truth of his word, that you don't have to live in guilt and shame. You don't have to live in condemnation because you are free from the law, and God has extended his grace to you. You are, as a Christian, you are part of the family of God. And so, Lord, right now, just ask for your blessing upon every person who might be listening or looking at the video or even reading the notes. Lord, that you would just bless them with this message and that you would encourage them that they are loved by you. God bless you. We'll see you the next time. Unless otherwise noted, all scripture quotations are from the New King James Version of the Bible. Copyright 1982 by Thomas Nelson. Used by permission, all rights reserved.